98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen, down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. All right, let's go. Time for Wolfen Down Your Lunch. Aaron Maloney is here to serve it up. Aaron?
So according to ESPN's... Oh, happy birthday, Wolf.
Oh, please.
We'll get to it a little bit later in Wolfen Down Your Lunch.
Just
but
proceed.
Wolfen Down Your Birthday Cake.
According to ESPN's Dan Graziano, there have been three positive COVID tests reported with the Cardinals this week, leading to increased testing for several players and personnel. The team is not yet required to move to intensive protocols, but one more positive test would put them there. But guys, like, that's not all, because the first week six injury report was released yesterday ahead of the Cardinals matchup with the Browns, and Kyler Murray was limited in practice with a right shoulder. What's more concerning to you?
Oh, boy.
Depends on who tested positive.
What does it mean, intense protocols? What does that mean again?
I need more info.
I don't know, but maybe it has. It may affect.
Can
you
I answer this? Yeah, thank you.
Please, because I can't.
Can I just answer this right now and say that the Kyler Murray situation has gotten me a little concerned. It's got me a little bit more concerned based on what we know happened last year, of course, with Kyler Murray getting knocked around in that Seattle game, and then suddenly from that game forward, didn't look as sharp. Will it have the same impact going forward? How bad is it with Kyler Murray right here in his injury that he suffered? And it was an injury because he's on the injury report, as limited as a matter of fact. How much is this going to impact how he plays going forward? I don't know the answer to that, but that's more concerning than anything else to me.
The Kyler injury has to be the answer, just because that could linger for the whole season, maybe, or it could be gone in a week. But whereas the COVID stuff would just probably be for this week. He threw it. The Hopkins touchdown was after they showed him on the sidelines getting his arm, whatever they were doing to it, right?
Yes.
I mean, so he was still functional after that.
Oh, no doubt.
It's just, yeah, based on what we saw last year, you're like, you know, you just never want your quarterback hurt.
The Cleveland Browns rushing attack is one of the best in the league, with two Pro Bowl caliber players leading their room. So is this week similar to week one as far as stopping the run goes? Here's Corey Peters.
Yeah, I think it's a similar concept. Obviously, with the Titans coming out of camp, you know, we've been preparing for them for, you know, a while, really. Just talking about them little by little. So this is a little bit of a different challenge. Obviously, they have a really good offensive line and two good backs, and a coaching staff that believes in establishing the run game. So it's one of our main focuses this week, and so it's going to be a big challenge for us.
What do they need to do, guys, this weekend?
A lot of what you did in week one. I have to imagine it must just suck to have to tackle Derrick Henry. Just, you must just hate life for that whole game. These guys aren't a whole lot easier to tackle, but they are not like trying to tackle an actual truck.
For me right now, they got to shut down Baker Mayfield, and that means make him one-dimensional. That's not what he wants to be. He wants to be in a three-dimensional offense. They got to shut down the rushing attack and force Baker Mayfield to beat him. And guess what? Baker Mayfield in the past has beaten teams doing that. But I think that is the course they've got to take. They've got to shut down the run, pack the box up, and make Baker Mayfield prove that he can throw it over their head. And maybe he does.
Suns owner Robert Sarver joined Burns and Gambo yesterday, and he was asked if he wants to get a deal done with DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get something that works for both sides, we definitely would. And, you know, as you know, in restricted free agency, sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, getting a deal done a year early is a little more challenging than getting a deal done at the beginning of a season.
So is he worried about an extension becoming a distraction?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for DeAndre, but I think he made his goals clear at Media Day in terms of what he wanted to try to accomplish this year. And he's had direct communications with our organization, you know, recently. And he's all in. And I'm not concerned about that.
How do you feel about this whole situation after hearing from the Suns owner?
I don't think anything's getting done in the next 4 days. That's how I feel about it. Look, his stance of, like, you know, this doesn't have to get done before October 18th to mean DeAndre Ayton's still on the Suns, that's not wrong. I mean, he's accurate there. I think a lot of Suns fans hear that and they're like, where's your sense of urgency, especially when the rest of the league's kind of looking and being like, what are you doing? And you're seeing more and more stories and headlines pop up and comments and whispers of, like, oh, it's just the Suns being cheap again, whether that's the case or not. I just don't think anything's getting done before October 18th.
No, I agree with that right there. What's really interesting to me is I don't think there is a concern that this is going to drive a wedge between ownership and the players. This is, again, I could be dead wrong on this. Heed my words and hear them well, but I don't think they are afraid. For whatever reason, I don't know what that reason is, but it doesn't sound like to me they're concerned at all with this driving a wedge in between the locker room and ownership. And that surprises me.
Happy birthday, Ron Wolfley.
Oh, jeepers. I mean, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Okay,
so, but
thank you, Mel. That's
I
next.
Do have a question for you.
Yes.
What is your favorite birthday meal? Like, you know, do your kids, Stephanie, do they ask what you want for dinner on your birthday? And then what is it?
She did this morning, as a matter of fact.
Can I guess your answer?
Yes.
Just a film of the Cleveland Browns or whoever they're playing that
week. That's not bad right there. That's not bad.
Anything,
but I've already
with
got
hot
that.
Sauce.
Yeah.
Anything with hot sauce. So you're right on that. Can a brother get some Cajun, please?
Really?
Cajun food. Oh, my goodness, right now. It is the end-all, be-all, is it not, my brothers?
So then are you getting Cajun food tonight?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Do you guys make it? Oh, no.
She does make some awesome gumbo. The Warrior Queen's gumbo is the best gumbo on the face of the planet. But we're going to get some gumbo. It takes her, like, 10 hours to make it. So that's the problem. We're going to get something quick tonight. We'll get a little gumbo and a little jambalaya and pour it over some dirty rice and eat that thing like it was good, because it is.
Can you get quick gumbo? Is there like a drive-through gumbo stop?
Yeah, no, listen, man, I can't throw out something that could be misconstrued as payola, but I'll say Baby K's, go get it. Help yourself right there,
just
and that's not
some.
Payola.
All right. Now I'm just hungry. Once again, we've ended Wolf and
so,
Wolf and
look, what is your birthday meal of choice, if you were to pick one?
I don't know that I have, like, a specific one. I as you're talking, I'm thinking wings, like good wings or good barbecue. So maybe that would be my default answer.
And you, Maloney, since you brought it up?
I would probably say chicken piccata.
Chicken
That's
piccata.
Very specific. Okay.
Rick, what about you, Jesse's girl?
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Wolf.
All right, man. Hey, thank you.
Your,
I appreciate
your
that,
answers
bro.
Chambered right there. All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch right there. And now after lunch, I'm even hungrier than I was before. Coming up, after being limited in practice yesterday, how concerned are we about Kyler Murray's shoulder heading into week 6 and beyond? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM. Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Cliff Kingsbury, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let's go, Lucky Ramp, Lucky Ramp, Lucky Ramp, let's start, here we go.
I feel like we've added a lot of key additions to the team. You know, from year one to now, yeah, we're in a good spot.
I think the accountability on this team with a lot of the leaders we brought in has really, I guess, leveled up. Hey!
Cliff Kingsbury has to go from, like, really good offensive mind to head coach in the NFL.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes numb?
Well, there's a lot of unknown for a game that is not that far away now. We're here on Thursday. Cardinals playing the Browns on Sunday.
Ooh, I'm starting to get in the mood, too. Here it comes.
We don't even know who's playing for the Cardinals because we know they have three guys in COVID protocols now. They're one player away from having to go into intensive protocols. Kyler Murray's playing. He was limited in practice yesterday. Let's focus on that because there's at least a little more substance to that and a little more information available. Everybody saw him on the sidelines getting his arm worked on. Then he came out and led what was essentially the game winning drive. So I don't find myself that concerned about it, Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
to be honest, what the only thing that's really worrying me about it is last year. If last year hadn't played out the way it had, I wouldn't even be concerned at all because, yes, we saw Kyler get his arm worked on, but then we saw him lead the game-winning drive, and he was just limited yesterday. In a vacuum, that really shouldn't be that concerning.
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers represented the best pass rush the Arizona Cardinals were going to see and have seen all season long. And they got after Kyler Murray a little bit right there. Yes, the Arizona Cardinals were able to win that game, but Kyler did take some shots, no doubt about it. Nick Bosa's shot knocked him to the ground. That's where he actually got hurt. Remember, they were working on him after he got knocked to the ground right there. And now the Cleveland Browns and their front four represents the best pass rush the Arizona Cardinals have seen so far this year. And that's the reason why I'm a little concerned. I am concerned about this report. Not that he's not going to play, but that maybe playing is not going to be a great thing against this pass rush that is one of the best in the National Football League, bar none. So what are you going to do about it? Immediately, you're going to put him in some type of balanced offense, right? Yet at the same time, when you think about it, what is the problem with the Cleveland Browns secondary? They got a bunch of guys that are all banged up in the secondary. It makes you want to throw the ball ad nauseum. Are you going to jump into that environment? That's what I want to know.
I think you hit on it earlier in the show. I mean, ideally, you'd like to go out there, jump on Cleveland, get a lead. I know you want to do this every week, but specifically this week, that probably means Kyler throwing. But you'd like to get that lead and then not have to have him be exposed as much, if at all possible. Like, in a perfect world, the Cardinals go out there, they get a couple quick touchdowns, which is not easy to do. Cleveland has a very good defense, but like you said, their secondary is so banged up, that area of it might be a lot easier to exploit this week than normal. We just saw the Chargers do it last week, and yeah, they have Justin Herbert, but the Cardinals have Kyler Murray. He can do it too. And ideally, you would get that lead and then you wouldn't have to go to the air as much, and Cleveland wouldn't be able to go to the ground as much. You want to see Baker Mayfield throwing, and you want to see Chase Edmonds and James Conner running, basically, on Sunday. That's the best-case scenario, probably, for the Cardinals.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Once again, I am a little concerned because of the past with Kyler Murray, because of the fact that we've seen what has happened when he gets nicked up a little bit right there. It definitely impacts his play, as it does anybody that is nicked up. But now you're talking about a quarterback with some fine motor moves and the dexterity you've got to have to play quarterback. It can really mess with a throwing motion and really inhibit and prohibit a quarterback from doing his job.
I haven't heard anybody else mention this yet. I'm not like suggesting they need to do this by any means. I fully expect Kyler Murray to be good to go against Cleveland, but Wolf, they don't have a bye week for a while. You know, we're getting kind of towards the, like, we're not at the middle of the season yet, but there are teams. San Francisco has a bye week this week, and they could use it. They have two hurt quarterbacks. If you're thinking like, okay, just get to the bye week and then Kyler can rest up, that bye week's not till Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So it's going to be a while.
Yes! How awesome is that?
Well, you
right
just
there?
Have Thanksgiving weekend off.
Think about that. Thanksgiving weekend to have Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night to have that off right there. Are you kidding me? Stop it. Why did you get me so sidetracked
Just eat for 4 days.
When is that? I mean, that is a long time. That is, what is that? A week 12 bye?
Yep.
Is that what that is right there?
Yep.
Holy cow. You know what? Honestly, that is something that I love. I love the late bye.
I do too if you're a contender. If you're a playoff team, you want that late bye because you're cutting the season in half, including playoffs.
Yes.
If you're like a fringe team, maybe you needed a little. Like if the Cardinals were 2-3 or 3-2 right now, I'd be like, okay, you need this bye like next week if you can get it, because you need to get your quarterback back to relatively full strength. They can afford a loss. You never want to have that mentality, but you could afford a loss. And that's where I was going before is, you know, if you get through this Cleveland game, especially if you win it, but it's like, yeah, Kyler doesn't really look right, and you're having those conversations internally with the trainers, and they're like, you know, if he just had a week off right now, we'd get him back to 100% for the second half of the season. I don't want to do it, but wouldn't you at least have the discussion of, we did bring in Colt McCoy if he had to play against Houston or Green Bay for 1 week, especially if they're 6-0, and it would guarantee Kyler's back to full health, not just he rests and he still comes back banged up.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a conversation to have.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, to me, it is the concern here for me is the Cleveland Browns defensive line in particular. My goodness, it's so similar to the 49ers. It really is the same scheme to watch them run the 4-3, a 4-3 defense, which is what the 49ers ran. We've been talking about this all week long, and we'll continue to talk about it even more tomorrow when you think about it. Just the fact that the similarity between these defenses, and then you've got Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator, who actually coached on the 49ers staff in 2019, coached under Robert Saleh, coached for Kyle Shanahan, coached against Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, this is... It is going to be a situation where they're going to come after Kyler Murray, in my opinion. They're going to roll the dice and come after him. Now, what does that look like?
No mush rush.
And to what degree? Exactly. I don't think it's going to be a mush rush. I don't think that's what they're going to do. They'll come out. Now, listen, maybe they have to make some adjustments and go to a mush rush as the game unfolds. But I don't think it's going to be that. My gut feeling right now is that they're going to go after Kyler Murray. They're going to tell Myles Garrett, hey, do whatever you can to beat your guy. Don't worry about the mush rush. You're Myles Garrett. Go beat your guy and make the play. Malik Jackson, the same thing, right? Jadeveon Clowney. I just see a defense right now that is so similar to the 49ers, and we know that defense gave the Cardinals some fits last week. Now, they were able to win the game, score a touchdown late in the fourth quarter that actually allowed them to win that game, but I expect the same kind of approach from the Cleveland Browns, and they have a better defensive line. Yeah, that's what I said, a better defensive line than what the 49ers have.
Myles Garrett would mind if you went up to him and you're like, yeah, you know how there's kind of that conversation, we play the Cardinals, maybe we don't want our guys going for the sack, maybe kind of hang back a little bit. No, you know what, Myles? You just go chase the quarterback. I'm sure he's just like, that's music to his ears.
Yes.
He's going to chase the quarterback anyway, but at least then he knows his coaching staff's behind him. This is Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, what he sees from Cleveland's defense.
Yeah, speed and athleticism. They've done a great job building that roster with great athletes, and they fly around. They're physical, great front. Linebackers that can really run, and then a super athletic secondary. So it'll be definitely one of the most talented rosters we've seen this season, and they're playing at a high level.
That's not an exaggeration. I think people look and they're like, Cleveland, if you're not paying that much attention to the teams outside Arizona, you're like, okay, this is just a coach saying Cleveland is talented because that's who they're playing. No, Cleveland's actually pretty talented now. That's a dangerous football team over there in the AFC. With a lot to play for, 3-2.
You're talking number four in sacks per attempt. The Cleveland Browns, top five, elite. And then you put the tape on and you watch these guys actually rush the passer and do what they do. Man, they are good. That much you know. And it jumps off the tape at you when you watch a guy like Myles Garrett. They're good. And the numbers back it up.
Text us your thoughts on Sunday's matchup to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, what will Wolf have his eyes on when the Cardinals' defense takes the field against Baker Mayfield and the Browns' offense Sunday? He'll break it down next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is James Conner, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Sprints to the right. He's got room at the 45.
I was running through the six with my walls.
I think Chase can do it all. I believe I can do it all.
Very excited about everybody that's in that room. I don't know if I've had a room quite as deep as this one.
Big hole Edmonds, 25-20, 10-5, touchdown.
Man, I just think explosive, just the weapons that we have.
Running through the six with my walls.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
All right, well, maybe a little clarity, at least in terms of what intensive protocol would entail. The Cardinals are not there yet, but with the three positive COVID tests, it's like Chuck Harris tweeted this out before, and it's a lot of what, all meetings held virtually, no in-person gatherings outside of facility or team travel, locker room use strongly discouraged and strictly limited to small groups for short periods of time. All players and staff wearing masks or face shields throughout practice. That's what it would be. They're not there yet.
So it's basically 2020 all over
again. Kind of just taking a step back 1 year.
How brutal would that be?
Yeah, you don't want that. Nobody. 2020 was just awful across the board. Nobody needs that. All right, Wolf, what are you looking at in this game specifically as we get close to the Cardinals? Trying to go 6-0, by the way. I don't think we can talk about that enough.
No doubt about it, Luke. Let's go ahead and take a look at this right now, shall we?
What will Wolf watch?
Scoring touchdowns versus Baker's Browns.
Oh, that feels so right, doesn't it? The best defense for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday may be their offense with Kyler Murray and company. The Cleveland Browns love to keep Baker Mayfield in a balanced offense, running the ball, throwing the ball, and using the power of play action, of course. The Cardinals need to make Baker Mayfield and the Browns' offense one-dimensional. Kyler Murray and company need to score points and do it at a clip where the Browns cannot stay balanced in order to win the game. The Big Red O needs to force the Browns to throw the ball, force them to try and keep up with one of the best offenses in the National Football League. Look it up. The Browns run the ball better than anybody else in the league, and that's not speculation. Cleveland is the number one rushing team in the world in rushing yards per game and rushing yards per play, and it gets worse. Watch the Browns tape, and you see bad, bad dudes playing. Although you won't see dead people, you may see things you don't want any part of. The Browns line up in rundown situation and pound the football between the tackles. They love themselves some power personnel groups and beg you to try and keep up as they hammer you over the head with power schemes and zone schemes. And this is not the worst of it. Oh no, my friends. The Browns offensive line is one of the best in the league. Pro Football Focus declared them the best offensive line in the league a week ago, but dropped them to number two this week. Although I hold Pro Football Focus in contempt when it comes to grading players, the tape tells me that this group of five are getting the job done. Jack Conklin is their best tackle, and their guards Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller are playing in a high, high level. These guys come off the ball in a physical fashion, but are athletic enough to run the tackle zone schemes horizontally. But the brutality is only beginning on the line of scrimmage. Oh, yes. Nick Chubb is 5'11 and 230 pounds. He's the best running back I've seen on tape outside of Derrick Henry. When it comes to running the ball between the tackles, Chubb and Henry are neck and neck, and then there's everybody else. And that is also the problem. Everybody else includes Kareem Hunt. And Kareem Hunt is no joke either. Although he's more of a horizontal threat, Hunt is 5'11", 220 pounds. Both these backs force you to be good, sound, fundamental tacklers, or they'll embarrass you in front of your kith and kin. All of this means one thing. The Cardinals' defense is going to be challenged on the line of scrimmage. The best defense against the Browns will be Kyler Murray and his offense lighting up the scoreboard the way the Chargers lit up the scoreboard, forcing Baker Mayfield to beat them throwing the ball, and Baker might just oblige. And because of this, this game is in doubt with Max Williams and Rodney Hudson out, but the Cards have been fiercely resilient this season. When the task is difficult, they have produced. When the challenge is too much, they have proven themselves otherwise. And when a loss was looming, all they've done is find a way to win a game.
Who did you say they get embarrassed in front of? Kith and kin?
Kith and kin, yes, of course.
Sounds like a cartoon on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, kith is kind of like, you know, your friends that you would invite. Or kin, of course, is
well,
your
I understand
family.
Kin. I've never heard kith before. Is this Latin?
What do you mean you've never heard kith?
I've never heard kith.
Well, first of all, have you ever watched Christmas Vacation?
Absolutely.
Okay, kith and kin. You've never heard Chevy Chase say Kith and Kin?
He says a lot in that movie. That's not the first line I think of.
Okay, my goodness.
I'm sorry. I apologize
for that. Honestly, it's the first time I've ever heard of Kith and Kin.
For you to evoke Christmas Vacation and for me to not get the reference, this is I'm going to have to rethink a lot of things.
It's starting right now. Yeah. You definitely are down on the totem pole.
I'm down on my own totem pole after that. I'm going to have to go watch that movie 2 months earlier than
usual.
Was it
Christmas Vacation or Vacation? That is the question.
Well, that's
that
a big difference.
I'm asking that open.
That's a giant difference right there.
I'm pretty sure it's Kith and Kin.
I've seen Vacation.
Christmas Vacation.
Like maybe twice. I've seen Christmas Vacation 30 times. Who knows?
Yes. You know, stop and think about it, though. It does make a lot of sense. The Cardinals, if they can go out and score points. Now, that's a big proposition. But if they can get the Browns one-dimensional in the second half, get them one-dimensional where Baker Mayfield's got to throw the ball. Because you're it's a two-possession game in the second half. Get them to throw the ball more. They got a much better chance of winning this game.
Look at Cleveland's schedule. Their three wins, they beat Houston 31-21, Chicago 26-6, Minnesota 14-7. Don't see a lot of 14-7 games in 2021.
No.
But their two losses... In Kansas City, 33-29. So what is that, 62 points scored in that game?
Yeah,
and then last
Kansas City Chiefs defense is so bad.
Well, no. Yeah, it is. it really is. But to your point, Kansas City beat them by scoring a ton of points and just making it a high-scoring game.
Yes.
And then last week, there was 89 points scored when the Chargers beat them 47-42. Cleveland was still able to run in those games. They were never really that far behind in those games. But if you can, and again, we don't know what players other than Chandler Jones the Cardinals might be missing because of COVID. It sounds like there's three now. And so we don't know if those guys are offense, defense, or whatever. But generally, the Cardinals have a good enough defense where if this offense is going to go out there and put up 35 points, the defense isn't going to give up 35 points.
No, your best defense could be your offense right there, especially if you're telling me Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson are back.
They were, at least according to Darren Urban, out there for the visible portion of practice
this morning. That is a big deal.
I was just hoping to get one of them back.
That's a big deal.
I still am recovering because I didn't expect Marco Wilson to miss last week's game. when they sent out the inactives before the game, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be an issue. All right, win a pair of tickets to the Phoenix Suns home opener. Just text TICKET to 620-620 and listen for your name next Monday during the 7 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours. You'll have a chance to win Suns home opener tickets. It's the return of the hottest tickets in town, powered by FanDuel. Coming up, Suns owner Robert Sarver spoke on the contract status of DeAndre Ayton yesterday. So did he tip off anything as to where things might stand? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Leather jacket, cashmere sweater. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, it's getting a little cooler out, Wolf. You're going to have to start breaking out that cashmere sweater that they're talking about.
Man,
right
I'm
there.
Telling you right now, I've never, ever even thought of a cashmere sweater.
Didn't know it was a thing until I started doing this show.
It sounds so itchy, doesn't it? Can you imagine?
I think there's an episode of Seinfeld about one, and that's probably... this is my experience with cashmere before this show. An episode of Seinfeld?
Yeah.
The Led Zeppelin song.
Okay.
And I don't think they're talking about either one of them.
That is good right there.
They're spelled
well done
differently.
On your part.
Are they? And Scott Kazmir, remember him, the pitcher?
No.
Yeah.
Still pitching.
He is. He's back, right? Like, he took like a four-year break, and he came back and pitched. All right, let's get into this. The Suns. Robert Sarver was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, and so as you can imagine, the conversation was pretty heavily focused on DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. And Sarver, for what it's worth, said this.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for DeAndre, but I think he made his goals clear at media day in terms of what he wanted to try to accomplish this year, and he's had direct communications with our organization, recently, and he's all in, and I'm not concerned about that.
Boy, you know what, right there, that really filled me with a little bit of hope right there. He's all in. He's all in, and I'm really not concerned about that. Is that just the right thing to say if you're an owner in this situation and you don't want to pay him? Is that just him saying that, won't the truth come out at some point in time? Wouldn't it come out in some point in time right there? He's all in.
Well, you can be all in and disappointed. And D.A., I mean, it, depending on who you are as a person. And we're going to find out a lot about D.A. because I don't think a deal's getting done before the 18th. I mean,
is that just Robert Sarver being hyper-positive right there, or does he actually know that?
I would say almost nonchalant. I mean, that's sort of been his. Anytime we've heard from him, like the occasional clip on Twitter yesterday throughout the interview with Burns and Gambo, Sarver has kind of given off the impression of, you guys are making a big deal out of nothing. And honestly, he may ultimately be right. He absolutely, we may get to a point, there's definitely a scenario where D.A. doesn't get his deal before October 18th, but he's on the Suns for the next dozen years.
Did you see this where reportedly Robert Sarver actually met with D.A. at the Sanctuary in Camelback Mountain Resort? Did you see that?
They asked him about a TMZ report. I would assume this is
yes.
it. Here we go.
I said I'm not going to discuss publicly our discussions.
Well, we're just asking you to confirm that you actually met with him.
Can you discuss your discussions, please?
I mean, honestly, we're not trying to. What did you say to him? I think we all understand what it is that you would have said.
Yeah,
to
we're
him
not like lowering a boom
time.
Mic over the
what
interview.
What we're trying to do is, were you actually there sitting down? Because according to that TMZ report, there was a picture of Robert Sarver and D.A. sitting at the same table, having a conversation one-on-one.
Is this going to
take that as a good sign
yeah.
or a bad sign?
I take it as a good sign.
So do I.
Is it going to? It's not going to be like all off-season with the Larry Fitzgerald stuff, though, where like, yeah, I just went out and golfed with Fitz. I didn't ask him about his retirement. Nobody that knew Larry Fitzgerald asked him if he was retiring
Nobody.
Or not.
Right.
So
it's one of those things you just know not to go. You're just not going to ask him that question.
In this case, they better be
You're
talking
You're not in
contract.
The family, as a matter of fact, if you ask him that question.
Just out of the family instantly.
Of course, you're out. You're out, Ed Faber.
So I never asked Fitz about it. So now am I in the family? Probably not.
No,
doesn't sound like it. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's not the impression.
Actually, have a relationship.
Oh,
with
okay. That's
before
that's different
you can
than,
be in the family.
But for to your point on Sarver and DeAndre Ayton, if they're talking, they better be talking about his future with the Suns. What else are you talking about if you're not?
What are you? If you're Robert Sarver, what are you telling DeAndre Ayton at that point in time? It's you one-on-one. What are you telling him? Maybe it's a good cop, bad cop thing. Is it possible that Robert Sarver?
Oh, that's intense.
What if this whole thing right here is about Robert Sarver? He wants to give him the money. I want to give you the money. But it's James Jones.
Yeah. You know, James is the one that stepped in. I had the check written, DeAndre. He ripped it up right in front of my face.
James Jones is the player here, and he's got the player mentality. Why I ever hired a general manager that's got a player's mentality? I don't know, D.A., but yeah. He's the guy who wants you to prove it.
I don't think that would fly.
Okay, you know what, honestly? What is the best case scenario here? What could be the best case scenario DeAndre Ayton? That would possibly happen for the Suns in 2021, 2022. For me, it's DeAndre Ayton who says, you know what? All right, fine. You're going to make me go out there and prove it. You're going to make me go out there and prove to you that I am a max player. Well, you watch this, James Jones and Robert Sarver. Watch me torch you in front of the world. To me, that would be the best response that you could possibly get. Now, again, take the chip from your shoulder and D.A., bury it in your heart, where suddenly you're going to go out there and be internally motivated, not externally, but internally for the rest of your career. Let it change your approach to your profession and your craft and how you go about your business, in the intensity, in the concentration, in the sincerity in which you do it. Let it change you, man. And that'll be the best thing to ever happen to you.
I don't want to ask you what the worst case scenario would be. I think we'll just stick with best case for now. The best case is what you just said. And then if you're going from DA's perspective, he gets even more money technically offseason. I think if another team were to offer him and the Suns are like, you know, screw, we can pay you more. That's the best case scenario, is D.A. does what you just said, and they have no choice but to give him a max deal next summer. Now, Brian Windhorst was on with Bickley and Murata this morning, and one of the things he said was, look, there's no way around it right now. It doesn't seem like they're comfortable giving him a max deal. And part of that, and this is what Windhorst said, you know, in a sense, if you're giving him a max deal right now, you're kind of betting on him getting better than he already is or was.
It's not comfortable for teams to sort of bet on players to improve. You know, like Dallas looks at Luka Doncic and goes, huh, guaranteed max, bam. The Hawks look at, you know, Trae Young and go like, oh, yeah, we believe in the max. You know, when you look at a team like Denver, as they were looking at Michael Porter, you look at, you know, the Suns looking at Ayton, and they're like, you know, we're giving you this money with the belief that you will become a better player, that you're not just a player you are today. And you could go back 15, 20 years, and you could see a list of players that the gamble paid off on. You could see a list of players where the gamble didn't pay off. And this is actually reminiscent to me of Andrew Wiggins, the number one overall pick in Minnesota, who showed good promise. You know, there were a lot of people that would have probably thought that he was a max player if he became a free agent. And so the Timberwolves really mulled it over for a long time, and they sat on it and sat on it and sat on it. And finally they were like, okay, we have to do it. And they gave it to him. And it ended up being a mistake. And he ended up nearly not being him. He's a good player, but he's not a max player. Mm-hmm. And so this is the thing, especially when you have other money on the books. It's not simple.
You evoked the name of Andrew Wiggins there, Wolf. And not only is Andrew Wiggins not a max player, he's a good player. He's a good player on a different team. I mean, that's how that went. Look, I want to be clear, at least on my stance here. There is absolutely risk in giving DeAndre Ayton max money.
Yeah.
I don't look at him in the purest sense and say there's a max player. There's one of the best, however you want to measure that, 25 players in the NBA. I don't see that yet, but I just, in this situation that the Suns are in, some of the other benefits you're getting are, you know, you have that reputation you're trying to shed of being a team that won't necessarily pay up. You especially don't want that for your own players. And you don't want to disrupt the good vibe around this team and just the good energy and the path that they're on. And maybe this doesn't disrupt it, but why even risk it? You know, like we've been talking about. You know, to me, the biggest risk in paying him is not, I don't care about Robert Sarver's money. It's not my money. So if they're gonna pay DeAndre Ayton and look back and be like, oh, he's really good, but it probably cost Sarver a little bit more than he should, like, sorry, you got a lot of money. I don't really care.
Yeah.
The risk is if you think you're going to pay him and he's going to become complacent. In my mind, that's the only risk of giving him a max deal.
You know what's going to be really telling for me, at least, is just the fact when this deadline comes, the 18th, and goes, the hue and cry from any of the players inside that locker room. Where is it, and to what degree do we hear it?
One other one from Windhorst right here in terms of whether a deal could still get done before the 18th.
From what I understand, they're pretty far apart. You know, we've got days to go, but it sounds like they're pretty far apart.
Now, I guess in fairness, these things always do tend to happen in negotiations. They always seem to come together at the last second, right? Or like when we have a league that's like, oh, they're going to lock out, you're going to have a strike, and the deal gets done at the last second. But these extensions tend to get done towards the beginning of the process.
I was going to say right there, that would be the fourth.
Yeah, ever.
The fourth.
Or not, I'm sorry, not the fourth ever. The fourth since 2015.
Yes.
Yeah.
In October.
Yeah. For a rookie to get the max extension in October. Usually you get it done before we even get to this point.
Yes, exactly.
Because nothing's changing. Nothing has changed between this week and last week and last week and the week before. It's not like the Suns are watching DeAndre Ayton in the preseason and be like, man, this guy really shows up for preseason games. Let's get this one done. All right, we come back. How does the Cardinals' offense change without Max Williams at tight ends and or without Rodney Hudson at center going forward? That's what we're going to talk about next. The Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.